Exodus 12.
If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, please say wait. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for just the privilege of being in this place right now. And Father, Lord, as we have come here, Lord, again we say and we choose, Lord God, to worship you. We choose to praise you, Lord God, for this word, Lord God, that that you have entrusted unto us, Lord God, to give unto your people. Now, Father, Lord God, as the minds, the heart, and the spirit of your people, Lord God, are ready, Father, we pray, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, will come forth, Lord, in a very powerful way, Lord God, to impact, Lord God, the lives of your people, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that as this word is distributed, Lord God, it's encouraging, it's edifying, Lord God, and it's empowering your people, Lord God, to live, Lord God, a healthy life and a holy life, Lord God, towards you, in the name of Jesus, for the glory too and for your glory. And this we pray, this we ask, and this we believe you for, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Exodus 12 declares, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your account for the lamb. God has a plan for your family and neighbors. Your salvation is just the beginning of the great flood of grace that shall sweep them into the kingdom. So in other words, basically, you are very intricate in leading your loved ones and your neighbors to Christ. You are very, very intricate in the plan of God. So it's very important that you do not forget that, because once you forget that in one little ingredient, it's never been about us. It's never been about us. We have to be put in the position, and we have to take the posture of wanting to be used by God, not just for us, but for the greater expansion and the greater purpose of the kingdom. Amen. The gospel, the good news, is too big for you alone. You have a calling to bring salvation to those who need help. Somebody other than everyone in this building needs help. And the everyone that I'm speaking of is outside. It's in this region. Everyone needs help. There are similarities to the help that they need, but they still need help. And God is looking for somebody like Shad. God is looking for somebody like Rose, Sister Pumpkin, Deisha, Lindsay, Farron, me, everyone. God is looking for us to be able to help these people. Whether it's just spending time, whether it's prayer. I mean, whether it's just, hey, how you doing? Smile. You never know what a smile does to somebody. Man, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm excited. But, amen. The little girl who told Naaman about Elijah is an example of someone who did just that. And it's found in 2 Kings 5. Amen. Which it basically tells the story of Naaman, who was great amongst his people. He was very notable, per se. He was notable, and he was a commander of armies. And in that particular chapter, his men had went out on a raid, and they basically subdued the area in Israel that they went to, and they brought back this little girl captive. And she served Naaman's wife. But the thing we have to realize was that Naaman was a leper. He had something that was plaguing his life. He had something that was plaguing his life. The disease of leprosy. There are people that have something plaguing their life, whether it's smoking, whether it's drinking, whether it's different addictions. They have something plaguing their life. And all they need is for somebody like us to walk in the place with kingdom authority to help them. But along with the story, he sent a letter to the king of Israel, and the little girl had told Naaman's wife about Elisha in Israel, a prophet in Israel. And what happened was the king over Naaman sent a letter to the king of Israel. And within the confines of the letter, basically, Naaman was requesting healing. And the king of Israel panicked, and he tore his clothes because he was like, who am I that I should heal? Am I God? So Elisha just so happens to hear about it. And the king told him what happened. And Naaman got word to come to where Elisha was. But there's something crazy that happened, because normally what Naaman thought for his healing, that's not the way that God planned it. That's not the way that God planned it. That's why it's imperative that we flow according, or we move synchronized with the Holy Spirit. Because what we think and what God think are two different things. Because even the Bible declares that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So Naaman came, and Elisha sent his servant out and basically told him, I'm paraphrasing. Naaman, go to Jordan and dip in the Jordan seven times, and your skin will be renewed. Naaman got mad. Why can't I go to the other rivers? They more cleaner, because Jordan was dirty. But even though Jordan was dirty, it was a place of transition. Even though Jordan was dirty, it was a place of transition. So Naaman was getting ready to walk off. He did walk off and he was enraged. He was toe up, because he thought that Elisha was going to come out and wave his hand over him, and he was going to be healed of his leprosy. But it didn't happen like that. So his servant stopped him and reminded him that, okay, if he was a prophet and what he said would come to pass, don't you think you should do it? So he went and washed himself in Jordan seven times, and his skin was renewed like a baby. That goes to show us that no matter what, we have to obey. It's in Naaman got mad because of the little small little fox of a hidden agenda of how he thought his healing was about to take place, or how his miracle was about to take place. Amen. Your family and your neighbors respond to, remember, and build relationships with T3. Y'all looking at me like, what is T3? T3 is your time, your talent, and your treasure. Your time, spending quality and quantity time. Quality and quantity time. Quantity, more than one, continual. That's what's wrong with us. We spend quality time, but it's not continual. So therefore, like, we have a lot of misunderstandings, and I don't, you know, I'm speaking as in the church, a body, a whole. Amen. Spending quality and quantity time with them, talent, using your skills in areas they need help in. Skills that they need help in. Your treasure, giving a financial blessing as a seed for a harvest. We stingy. That's right. Amen. Just being honest, we stingy. We get stingy with our time. We get stingy with our talent, and we get stingy with our treasures. Right. In some cases, we get prideful. Right. Because can't nobody do it like us. Now, it may be true that can't nobody do it like you, but you won't be used because of the spirit of pride that you're operating in. That's right. Now, it's a difference between saying that in confidence about yourself, but in a posture of humility. That's right. And it's another thing whenever you're operating in pride. Right. Somebody say amen. 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 Even you. I just take it a little bit home. It was you before we got to the place where we are right now. We responded to whoever came and saw us, whoever came and ministered to us, whoever came, whatever service we went to, and we just locked up with the person that gave us the word that we needed, that pushed us to the place where we are right now. We remembered and built relationship with them off of their time, talent, and treasure. Somebody spent time with you. Somebody spent time with you when you were messing up. Somebody spent time with you when you were confused and you just left everybody alone that you really needed. Somebody used their skill. Somebody baked something for you. One of the mothers made a plate and sent it to you. Somebody gave you money. Put it in your, what's going on? And you had about $20, $30, $40 in your pocket. $5, $10. Somebody helped you along the way. Now, the same way that they use their time, their talent, and their treasure, that's the same way. That principle right there was not meant to be limited or stopped. But that principle was released so that it could keep going. You determine the size of your harvest by your faith. Your faith operates out of time. But what happens is we limit our faith to this time. That's why things are not even coming through for us, because we don't believe outside of our little box or outside our little circle. For now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. That means I may not be able to see my car in the natural, but I see my car in the spirit. I may not be able to see my house in the natural, but I'm able to see my house in the spirit. I may not be able to see my family saved right now, but I'm able to see my family saved in the spirit. Somebody give God praise. This year, we're being stretched in every area. Amen. And there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. There is nothing you can do about it. Because we have to get to the place where we move on faith. Amen. So what if I owe a bill? So what if my lights are turned off? I got to move on faith, because if I move on faith, my lights will stay on another week. My water will stay on another week. Hallelujah. Until I get the money that I need to pay it. You determine the size of your harvest by your faith. In 2 Kings 2 and 4, the woman's faith was the only limitation on her miracle. The more empty vessels she gathered, the greater the miracle she would experience. Turn there. Let's go to 2 Kings 2 and 4. Let me get there. Hallelujah. Anybody learning something? Glory to God. Everybody there, please say amen. All right, if you're not there, please say wait. Deke. Amen. And it declares, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Meaning that she owed, her husband had a debt. And now that he's dead, she owed the creditor. And the creditor has come, but she don't have the money to pay the creditor. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house?" 2 Kings. Yes, ma'am. 2 Kings 4. I'm sorry. 2 Kings 4. Are you there? Yes. Amen. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors' empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." Then she came and told the man of God and said, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons shall live on the rest." The people are the empty vessels in your life. The empty vessels are the people. So our purpose is to go and gather the people. Our purpose in this instance is to go gather the vessels. The people are the vessels to where you are. And with the anointing that you have, pour out or help them. The oil represents the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. The Holy Ghost, the real Holy Ghost. Amen. That causes you to love right. That causes you to walk right, talk right, live right. That Holy Ghost. Not just the falling out and shaking and gyrating and spitting up stuff. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. We minimize the power of the Spirit within us, but he is all we need to work mighty miracles. Many people are active. Many people are active, but they're missing the one ingredient that they need, the Holy Ghost. They're active in tongues. They're active. They lead praise and worship. They play the drums. They play the keys. They can shout better than you, but they have no Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not just for when you get into the church, but the Holy Ghost is designed for your overall life. That's outside of this church, at home, at work. That causes you to go to your neighbor and say, I'm sorry, I felt such and such and such and such and such about you. Amen. And I need you to forgive me. Amen. The Holy Ghost that'll convict you and cause you to lay your gift on the altar until you get it right. That Holy Ghost is what we need in our life. And if you are dry and empty spiritually, you have nothing to fill them with. You have nothing to fill nobody with if you are dry and you are deprived of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because one of the purposes of the Holy Ghost is designed to shift people.